This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 342 of the Countdown Podcast, hosted by two of the most poorly designed creatures you've ever seen. My name is Wayne.
Well said, sir. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. But today, it's going up to the spooky season.
Yes, it's about to be October.
Yes, well, it is October, and it's almost Halloween in the North Americas and around the world if you do tend to celebrate. So we've gone with thanks to B Dizzle. From the We Watched a Thing podcast, whose idea this was this week. How about doing top 10 creature designs?
Great idea.
He said. And we thought, yes, let's do that.
Absolutely. Totally Paul's wheelhouse. Yes. Not my own. So, that you is know, fair. Just have fun with my list this week, folks. You know it's going to be bad. I stand resolute, motherfucker. Oh, shit, you know.
Yes, look, this is probably more my wheelhouse, but I am interested to hear what Wayne is going to say. Yeah, we didn't totally. Add no more parameters. It doesn't have to be a horror film, although, of course, Creatures does lend itself to that genre.
Sure, sure. It but could creatures be everywhere.
Anywhere and anything. I'm very much keen to hear what
For the Wayne record, that just means non-human is a creature, am I right?
Well, I guess we'll find
Sorry, non-human.
Well, we decided not robots, didn't we?
Yeah, not robots, so... I mean, you make an argument for like a cyborg, but no, I didn't.
You could.
Yeah.
I can think of one automatically, which I think one listener at least went with, a Borg.
Right. And now, is a standard, and I didn't do this, but is a standard animal a creature? Not really, because it hasn't been designed.
Not doing top 10 dog
Nature
films.
Designed it, right? So it's not a creature design. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry, I didn't do it. I'm just
no
wondering.
Lassie nor Rin Tin Tin.
No. That's not a creature. It has to be one that doesn't exist.
In my
list. It has to be one that was designed, as it were.
Yeah,
so,
that sort of stands to reason.
Okay, for me. I'm down.
So that'll be a lot of fun, I think, this week. And hopefully you're getting your Halloween on about the time that you are listening to this. All right, let's, without any further ado, get straight into it then with the segment that kicks off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
Where we recount everywhere, it's this segment. Paul, what's cracking?
I don't know if that makes sense, but okay.
Yeah, I kind of jumbled it in my head as I was thinking of it. Sorry about that, everyone. The recount is our mailroom.
It is. And last week's show, we had our first show v show in a long, long time. The fans from Fans on Patrol, Montego Bradley and Tiffobot joined us to count down the top 10 fantasy films.
Fantasy films.
I love the way I have to keep saying like Fantasy Island.
That's right. I'm thinking Ricardo Montalban.
Here's what some of the listeners had to say. Matt Ward, great episode. I hope we get some more show v show in the future. Maybe some rematches too. That's not a bad idea at all. Francis Booker said, Fans of Patrol had Empire Strikes Back, and that has to win it for me. Some great choices on their list and deserve to win. Tifferbot and Wayne need to do their own show sometime. It'd be pure filth, and I'm there for it.
Word.
Chad Fackler said, you guys win because Groundhog Day is one of my... Sorry. Groundhog Day!
Yay! Sorry, wasn't late.
Wayne had a mouthful of coffee.
Is it?
It's one of my top 25 films of all time, but Fans of Patrol was fun for sure. Andrew Watson said, I'm not sure I'm as accepting of Beetlejuice and Empire as a fantasy as you guys were. And referring to Neverending's Gmork as a wolf is Wayne levels of unfamiliarity with your own list, so I've got to go with the Countdown Boys. I don't even know what Andrew's talking about there. I'm just going to assume
Gmork was kind of not a wolf. It was like a cat-looking eyes thing, I guess. So, okay, fine.
Joey DiCarlo, I'm voting Countdown in protest for Tiff saying Star Wars is boring from the So Wizard podcast. And then lastly, from Sam Hurley from the Movies in 20 Qs podcast, you should check out the most recent episode, Machu. The Countdown guys argued that Scott Pilgrim is a fantasy movie. Remember when they gave us shit for saying it's a sword and sorcery movie?
I don't remember anything, but it sounds like us.
And whoever had Empire was going to get my vote, so that's another vote for Fans on Patrol. But the end result then was a pretty comfortable victory on our home turf, which often is the case.
Yeah, yeah.
46 votes, 75% of the vote to 15 votes, or 24% for Fans on Patrol. So,
quick word about this poll business. I don't know, because the only way I can see who's winning is if I vote for me or you, right? And I'm not going to fucking vote for you, right? So...
Well, then I'm taking one off that.
No, I have never done it. I actually don't know until you talk about it. I have no idea what's done.
Maybe that's funner to do it that way.
Yeah, how come I can't see it? I'm an admin. Anyway, whatever.
I think it's whoever puts a post up, clearly.
Well, that just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, I tend to agree with you. It was fine before. Why do they need to change it? Now, the only other thing I wanted to come back with was Chad Fackler again said, please, I have to know, is this a real thing?
What?
And he put up an advertisement for Domino's cheesy Vegemite pizza. Yes.
It is totally a real thing.
So pizza with cheese as the sauce, rather than either your traditional tomato-based sauce or this
is that what it is?
Abhorrent barbecue sauce.
Wait, Vegemite is the sauce, isn't
yes.
it? Oh, sorry. So you said cheese. Yeah.
Oh, did I say cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's cool. I meant Vegemite as the sauce. That's cool. And the cheese on top of that. Sounds...
Have you had it?
You know, I like a cheese and Vegemite toasty.
As do I.
I haven't had it. I don't know whether I should.
Look, you shouldn't.
So here's my challenge.
Oh, come
to
on,
the listeners
man.
Out there. We want to hear back from everyone who's tried this. Now, Adam Allure, top level page of the show, all around awesome bloke, has said, I need to try this Vegemite shit out. Because obviously this is Australia only.
Oh, yeah. And
he's ordering in from Amazon a jar of Vegemite.
Oh, God.
I want to extend the Vegemite challenge.
Oh, my God.
To all our international listeners.
Yeah.
If you want to take a picture of yourself with Vegemite, on it, and you have to sort of let us know what you've gone with. You've got to at least have a bite out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Let us know what you thought in the Facebook community or via Twitter, whichever is your preference. Countdown PC on Twitter.
Yeah.
Join up the Facebook community.
Yeah.
Send it to us. I reckon we send a couple of prize packs.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down. Let's pick a competition. All right.
Yep.
But a word of warning, everyone, okay? Especially you, well, only you US folks, okay? Here it is.
How do you eat it?
How do you eat it? Okay, now listen, don't fuck it up because it's like a fucking brown, fucking salty shit, is what it is, all right? It's like, it's salty as fuck, all right? So don't put
brown
too much on.
Fucking salty shit.
If you look at
you
it.
Can you imagine that Wayne is a marketing ambassador for his company?
Yeah, but not for Vegemite.
Product manager, not for fucking whoever makes Vegemite.
That's right. Well, this is, look, okay, here's what you gotta do, folks, okay? If you've never had a Vegemite before, have it on toast, all right? Now, I don't want no fucking fancy ass goddamn like just baked from the bakery kind of bread toast. I want some cheap ass toast.
Sourdough?
Right? Sourdough's too fucking fancy. I'm talking about like fucking whatever you get at your local supermarket. Yeah, over here it's tip top or fucking whatever, right? Take that shit. Toast it to your leisure, whatever you want. If you're like a browner guy, a less brown, whatever. Do your thing, right? Now, butter. Very important, okay? Butter over the top. I know Paul doesn't do it because he's fucking insane, all right?
I got to weigh in here.
You need fucking butter, man. You got to cut through that
salty
shit.
I think everyone
shit.
Would agree with you, and I'm not knocking it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I can have it corner to corner, thick as fuck.
God!
No butter. I don't eat butter because it's the one sort of concession I make towards my cholesterol.
Well done. Margarine? No, I don't think it's very good for you either.
No.
All right. What about olive and loaf? Anyway, the point is, if you have, right, okay, in normal people, right, or whatever you call Aussies.
bitch, please.
You, yeah, okay, thin layer of butter over the top. Make sure that melts in, okay? Get it right out of the toaster, okay? Then, real careful like, and you can't keep Vegemite in the fridge because it gets hard and you can't spread it, okay? Keep it out. Just a thin layer of fucking Vegemite over the top, okay?
Too many lines.
It's going to mix in with motherfucking like the butter. It's all good. And then try a little bite. That's what you do. If you put it on like fucking peanut butter, it's going to taste like a dick, all right? Don't do that shit. So there you go.
Once again, if anyone would know.
Trust me.
Right. So if you're... this competition, I don't know. I think if you've got the Vegemite pizza there in front of you and you eat a whole piece if you're Australian, I think you're in the running too.
You're definitely in the running.
Yeah. So you're we need some evidence thereof, maybe a video of yourself eating the Vegemite pizza piece.
Yes. Or just taking if you're a US, if you're around
if you're
the world.
An international listener.
Yeah. Just try Vegemite.
If you're like,
and tell us what you think.
If you're if you're off overseas and you're an Australian and you've eaten Vegemite, it does not count if you have one little bite. You need to get a Vegemite piece of pizza.
But feel free to just send something in anyway. You know, just go, hey, this is it. I'm the shit. Whatever. If we like him, you might win.
There we go. So there we are. I'm not sure what we call this. Countdown Vegemite Plus. No, was it? I don't know.
The Vegetite Challenge. No, hang on.
Veggie Down Challenge.
We'll come up with something. We'll come up with something.
Hashtag Veggie Down.
Veggie Down. We'll work.
People probably rehashtag that or re.
Yeah, it'll be like
because they'll think we're talking about eating vegetables.
The vegans will be like, yo, let's do this. I'm like, okay.
All right, there we are. Newest competition for the countdown has been born on the spot. Didn't organize
that. First
I
heard of it, and it's a great idea.
Let's get into it then on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 creature designs. The top 10 creature designs.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Is the subject of this week's countdown.
Is that what you're doing now? You're putting the effect on the goddamn sound instead of your voice? I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, maybe you feel
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
I'm afraid that this has happened, everyone. It's a sad day. What are you going to do?
All right, let's just move on then. Wayne, you can lead us away. Let's hear your good, number 10.
Because I'm going to fucking...
Creature design. Look, there's no doubt. If we don't have... If my top three are not in your list...
Yeah, no.
We should just stop the podcast now. Flip a table.
I'm sure.
And go and get some beers.
I'm sure it's going to happen. Okay. I'm sure it's going to happen. But
where they fall in the order, of course, will
exactly, be... Exactly, exactly. My number 10, though, everyone, is... From the film that Paul loves, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, now these are
I do love this film.
Yeah.
Just think the end.
You don't like the ending, that's right, yeah. Which is so wrong. Mimics are the name of these creatures, and how shall I describe them for you? A really mild way of putting this would be, imagine an octopus with way more than 8 tentacles, except the octopus tentacles were made of black fury and sharp killy shit. And also, it's just...
What? No!
Black killy shit. Who killy shit. That?
It is absolutely... The reason I like...
Hashtag black killy shit.
Black killy shit.
No, hang on.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Killing shit's fine.
Killing shit, there you go. It's a little bit like, it's basically got a lot of tentacles. And why it's cool for me is that the way these things move and roll and kill is they don't clamber along the floor like you might if you had lots of tentacles. It sort of rolls and goes and covers ground. And anything it comes into contact with, it just slashes to bits. And it is absolutely terrifying. And also, they move so fast. The only way you can prepare is if you see them coming in the distance. If one certainly sneaks up on you, you're done. There's no way you're making it, even if you're using a mech suit, which those people are. But, yeah, very cool-looking design, I always thought.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Didn't think of that one. That's
genuinely scared me.
Genuinely good choice, I would suggest. My number 10 is from a film you'll never seen. And you know, I know you like to start your list with a bang. This is the opposite, really, from
cool,
me.
Sure, sure.
This is a film which no one sees. It pops up all the time on films you should see this. It's called Splinter from 2008.
Splinter. Go on.
And basically, it follows a couple on the run who effectively kidnap another couple in their efforts to get away from the law, and they wind up running afoul of this creature, which basically is this alien that appears as these thin black splinter or quills.
Really? That's how it appears?
When they plug in, or you know, you get one in you.
Yeah.
That part of you starts to die and then reanimate and become its own lifelike
thing.
So imagine you get one of these splinters in your finger.
Yeah.
If enough time passes, that finger will die.
And
start moving of its own accord.
Oh my God, then you've got to cut it off.
Yeah. Yep. And it starts out by infecting animals, and the animals in the film infect humans and then humans.
So what does it look like? What does it look like when you're shit?
The design's not that... The design's not really the quills, obviously.
Yeah, it's the idea.
That's pretty boring.
Yeah.
It's the way that everyone moves when they are. So when you're taken over, it's like the ultimate zombie.
Oh.
Where each, literally there are moments in the film where half a hand gets severed or whatever else. That hand now has a few quills sticking out of it, and it's moving around like, you know, just the thumb and the two fingers are its own thing. But the best parts are when a whole human basically dies and then is reanimated.
Yeah.
Not like in zombie films, but they're all, each part's moving independently.
Oh, really?
So like arms are flicking back the wrong way and legs are doing the wrong thing and the head's backwards.
Oh, really?
So fucking cool.
Damn.
And this film would be a lot better if it wasn't. And they're covering its low budget roots by really lots of quick cuts, lots of shaky cam, which is what unfortunately sort of stops it from being a real winner. With a bigger budget, this film could have been anything.
Splinter.
It's called Splinter. It stars Shia Wingham. He's in lots and lots of things.
Okay.
And he's kind of like this. He's the bad guy who sort of kidnaps a couple, but then through the course of the film, atones and becomes kind of likable as he's trying to save the other two and whatever else.
How old?
2008.
2008. Okay. Yeah.
But there's a killer moment in this film where the guy's arm, one of the characters' arms in it, it gets enough of the quills in there that his arm dies and then it comes to life itself.
Yeah.
And it's like literally it bends itself backwards and snaps at his elbow and they realize I have to cut the arm off. It is the most harrowing.
Ugh. Yep, I'll never watch that show.
What an amputation I've ever seen in on film. It's amazing.
Okay, wow. All right, so Splinter. The thing in Splinter.
Yeah, and I couldn't even, it's so small, this film, I couldn't even find the name of the person who designed it, which I really made an effort to with all these things.
Oh, yeah.
So it came from Quantum Creation FX, and the idea was from writers Ian Shore and Kai Barry.
All right. I hope you don't expect that kind of class.
Level of education slash research from Wayne.
Well, I'm like, this dude did it. Some of them have it. Anyway, my number nine, and just to drive that point home, my number nine creature design that I like is the Mogwai.
Whoa, hold on.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, hang on a sec. I'm talking about the Mogwai and not the Gremlin.
I just went Gremlins because what I loved about it was we get cute, cuddly, amazing through to these things.
Now,
they're all the same creature, just different part of their life cycle.
Okay, I guess that would be cool for you. But for me, the stripe type, the Gremlin, right? That just looks like a sort of an evil lizard kind of thing. But
they're also individual and different.
Well, that's true, and that's cool. And what is kind of cool about this is that we're thinking mostly about the Gizmo,
thank
right?
you, by the way, because now I can use that song.
Which one? What is that song? No, I'm not. I mean, what is it? Am I to know that one? Like, is it
a theme song?
Oh, is it? Well, we can't wait for that one.
What? No.
Speaking of which, if you just Google a picture of the Mogwai, right? Particularly Gizmo,
so
right?
So cute.
Yeah, the cutest thing ever. They used like a the nose was half puppy, half monkey, just your standard cute animal nose they're talking about. And it took them 7 months to nail the final look of this. This is the pupae of the Gremlins, and
exactly, it's part of the lifestyle.
What I like, cycle. Yeah, which is cool. But the thing is, but you don't have to ever turn into a Gremlin, right? Just don't get wet or whatever it is.
Or don't feed after.
Don't feed after midnight. That's what the thing, right? But even Stripe, when it's a Mogwai, looks like a cunt. Like, you can see his face and he's cunty. He's got slanty. He's got, you know, his eyes are narrowed and he's got a bit. It's like, you know, and then you can tell he's evil because they're really good with the design. You know what I mean?
Look, he doesn't look like a friendly fella. I'll acknowledge that.
No, he looks mischievous. He
not
looks
sure
cute and mischievous.
The word cunty.
Always a cunt. So it's like. But yes, I've always enjoyed this sexual creature and I would see why this thing would make a wicked fucking pet. Like, I mean, if you don't feed him after feed night,
oh god,
look cunty.
You are never allowed to have a gremlin.
No way, man.
You would.
No way.
The whole of Perth would be overrun with gremlins.
Absolutely.
In a heart.
You do not trust a man like me with a gremlin, my friend. Absolutely not. No doubt, boo.
I would give my 8.5-year-old daughter a gremlin before I gave one to you.
As would I.
Sorry, a Mogwai.
Yeah, totally. I'm done with that.
All right, we'll see how high it goes on this. My number nine is from legendary creator and designer Stan Winston. Rest in peace for... And this came from his feature film debut. It's from Pumpkinhead, 1988 film. It's this huge, like, 9-foot-tall creature. It's like multi-joined legs to its spindly claws and its oversized head. It's kind of like a bit of an alien kind of top of its head, if I could put it that way, but not with the dome, like, spherical structure. It's very fresh take on this sort of demon, and it's by far the standout part of this film, which is an okay revenge film at best. And it grows from this sort of Cabbage Patch kind of reject, this huge behemoth thing that rends through everybody, which is a revenge thing after Lance Henriksen's kid is killed by these kids, I think, in a car from...
Lance Henriksen's in this.
Yeah. And in fact, even the way they designed it was to look a little bit like Lance Henriksen.
Really?
Deliberately so. So
I think I saw this in my research. Pumpkin
head. That's it, yeah.
And it's the... Oh, okay. So is it an alien or is it a creature?
It's a demon.
It's a demon. Yes. It's a demon. Got
and,
it.
And those who have seen it will know exactly what I'm talking about. Like
Pumpkin head.
When you are the legendary visual effects designer and prosthetic designer that Stan Winston was, when you direct a film, of course, that's going to be the centerpiece of it. Does not let you down at that particular level.
Very nice. Speaking of legendary designing folks, Harryhausen.
Yes.
Now, my number...
Of the Ray.
Ray Harryhausen. Now, he... my number eight is, in fact, Medusa from Clash of the Titans.
Okay, last week's mentioned. Yep.
Right. Now, I'll tell you why. It's because, first of all, I did see it back in the 80s, y'all. So, like, I was, like, you know, a zygote. So, I was...
Sure.
Sure. You know, 6'7", maybe. And it's something that still freaks me out now. Now, when you see him... Medusa is, of course, the woman with snakes for hair. Yep. Okay? Her face is green. It looks a bit fucked up. She looks fucked up. And the whole idea...
Unless you're Captain Kirk, generally speaking, things
he'd hit that.
Green.
He'd absolutely hit that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the way that the animation is like claymation, basically, that it makes the hair of the snakes move at the same time she moves and she's talking around and stuff, is already freaky because of all that droppy, jerky shit that always freaked me out back then. But
with the claymation?
With the claymation, absolutely. Because
stop motion animation.
Stop motion. We'd never seen it like at the time, right? Then when he cuts her head off and the idea is that he's got a head in a bag and anytime he wants to fucking bust some motherfucker, make him turn to stone, right? He just whipped the head out of the bag. Now, what happened there was when he did that, her eyes glow, and the snakes go wing 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 wing. They move around and shit.
How they go again?
Wing 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 wing. And because the eyes glowed and everything, and it gave me, I don't know, it really kind of gave me the shits as a child, and I still remember it now,
yeah,
and it
sure.
freaked
totally
me out. So I've always had, it's interesting. I didn't know that, I know there's Medusa is, I think, traditionally some sort of mythical creature with snakes for a head, right?
Yeah, from Greek mythology.
Right. So I never know any of that shit. The idea that snakes could be your hair is already some mind-blown shit.
That is
so,
some freaky shit.
Especially if you're just seven. So
I
there you are.
Knowledge. And it's also Indiana Jones's weakness.
Really?
It doesn't like snakes.
Oh, snakes, of course. Yes.
Well, from one childhood demon-like experience to another.
Yeah.
My number eight is also, weirdly enough, something that really freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah.
It is by far the most frightening zombie that... I know we live in a world where we've had 11 fucking seasons of The Walking Dead.
Heaps of zombies.
And every film under the sun since about 2000 has, generally speaking, had an element of zombieism in or another.
Yeah.
But I'm going all the way back to 1985 and the Return of the Living Dead's Tarman.
All right. Tell me about Tarman.
Tarman was the original zombie in that particular film. Yeah. He was already in this sort of canister full of, I can't remember, a trixion or trioxin gas. And they accidentally trigger it and the gas comes out. They breathe it in. Eventually, those two guys who did that, they die and turn into zombies as well. But when he comes out of that canister,
What's he look like?
It's like a decomposing zombie already, which of course they all are.
Got
but
it.
All his flesh is melted off. So he's dripping the flesh off as he's moving around.
Is it like Robocop where the dude was in acid? Is it like that, the skin falling off?
Yeah, a little bit like but that? Like it's all black and sort of gray. His skin's come to that sort of level. And you can see his black sort of muscles left holding up. It gives him, it looks like he's covered in slimy tar, hence the name which is given to him by one of the characters in the film.
Gross.
Tar Man.
Gross.
It's terrifying, and like his teeth are all still there, and that's what he's brains.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah. This is the film which brought up zombies saying brains, because in this one, they're smart enough to be able to speak, and they're able to explain their actions. They're able to say, eventually one is caught and says, we need to eat brains because of the pain. What pain? The pain of being dead, which, oh my God, that's terrifying.
That actually is, yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Not all play for laughs, but there's a real comedy element to this film. But there's something terrifying at its core about this. And this film really stuck in my memory. To say nothing of the fact that the end of the film is a nuclear bomb being dropped on killing everybody, all the characters, all the zombies.
Oh, really?
To try and save the day.
There you are.
Yep.
Well, okay.
But Tarman was played by Alan Trotman and Robert Bennett and designed by William Stout, which all the props. This is 80s practical effects. Not its very best, because we'll come back to that, but right up there.
Okay. Very cool. My number seven is from a movie that is shit. And it's a shit movie. It may be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
But the design in it, I actually rather liked. And it's a subtle one, this one. It's not like the brains or anything. It's not particularly horrific at all. I just enjoyed the design. It's from Prometheus. And I'm talking about The Engineers. Now,
interesting. You didn't see that coming.
Yeah. The Engineers are actually probably about 12 feet tall at least. All right. But they are... white skin, as in like pearlescent white skinned. They have dark blue eyes that there are no whites in their eyes. And they're bald and they're muscular. Then they're just big dudes. And they are supposed to be they're guys who basically created humanity.
Yep.
By sacrificing themselves and pouring into a screen. There's a whole theme in the movie. But for some reason, this is the best part of this movie. Because everything else about it sucks, right? The idea that these alien race of big, huge dudes, which are humanoid... but by no means human. And then they're huge, like gods. I just liked that concept of that.
Be honest, Wayne. The baldness is what won you over.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you something, folks. If you're a bald man, you forget that you are bald. When you have dreams and when you think of yourself, you don't necessarily think of yourself as bald.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I can't explain it, but you actually get reminded that you're bald when you look in the mirror. After a certain age, like mine, you kind of know, but like...
Inconceivable!
I'm telling you. So it's the bald thing is probably on some level like getting me there, but like the idea is that, yes, they actually look really cool. The weird skin and stuff, somehow it's cool, man. Anyway, okay. So there you are. They're called The Engineers from Prometheus.
Didn't see that one coming. My number seven is...
Okay, so it's the Gremlins, obviously.
Yep. Moving on.
Excellent. My number six. Now, here is some freaky shit. You know Tim Curry, Paul?
Heard of him.
Right. So he was from, Clue and all those shows. And
It,
right? Now, in 1985, there was a movie called Legend.
Also mentioned last week.
Yes, it was. Was it last week?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. No, okay.
By Fans on Patrol.
Yeah, no, I remember talking about that. I actually do remember that now. However, this is my list on it, Paulie. The Darkness is the Devil. That's his name. It's called The Darkness. It's also what I call my car. It's a black car. And it's a Ridley Scott film which had Tom Cruise in it, but no one talks about this film. And I'll tell you why. I think it might be shit, but I remember seeing
it. Have you revisited it?
No. And in fact, when I saw it, I couldn't look at the bad guy because he's a dev. He's
you were saying to them, it was scared the shit out of you.
Absolutely. He was red all over, and his horns, apart from having big, long black claws and everything, his horns were so big outside of his head that they jutted forward, and the horns were black while he was red, and it always gave me the shits. And I actually don't ever, like, I haven't watched the whole film, I'll be honest with you. I've actually looked away at those parts, and I don't.
You can't handle the truth.
I can't handle the big red fucker. So yes, absolutely, the Darkness from Legend.
There's multiple
everyone.
Meanings of that last sentence. Wayne said.
Have you seen this film?
Yeah, but a long time ago. I don't remember anything about.
No. I just remember
other than his iconic kind of look as the devil or whatever he is, a demon.
Well, I remember it freaking me and a few friends out when we saw just the trailer. We were like, ugh. So you know that happens. Very bad.
All right. Well, I should have mentioned when, other than just singing the Gremlins theme song, that it was designed by someone named Chris Wallace. Put all that work in.
So. Excellent.
All right. My number six is iconic, and it's so iconic I can best put it together with this sound.
We have such sights to show you.
Now, you don't know what that is, Wayne.
No, what the fuck was that?
It's Pinhead.
Who the fuck is Pinhead?
From Hellraiser, the leader.
Fuck Hellraiser.
Of the film.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Hellraiser, which was the brainchild of course, Clive Barker in his short novella called The Hellbound Heart originally.
Oh. I remember the poster. Is he a dude who's bald also, but has pins sticking out of everywhere in his head?
And the Cenobites are these sort of demons from Clive Barker's version of hell, which they are all kind of into. Well, he drew inspiration from a punk fashion, Catholicism, and by the visits he took to S&M clubs in New York and Amsterdam.
Clive did that?
Yeah.
Clive went to S&M clubs?
Yeah.
Damn!
And for Pinhead specifically, Barker drew inspiration from African fetish sculptures. So all these things together. As you said, these very iconic pins, the shaved head, the very, very pale skin. Because they were nailed in there. They're not pins, they're nails. They were nailed in. So when he went to hell for his sins, or at least when he was taken by the lament configuration.
They nailed them damn.
They nailed them into him and turned him into a demon himself. Because all these demons were once humans that have been converted based on their sins into further demons.
Odd question. If you're having a fight with hell, a pinhead, right? If you punch him in the face... he's done, right? Like, that's got to hurt, right?
But
no, because he's a demon.
But as per the joke in Rick and Morty, these things like pain. That's what they live for.
Oh, God.
So I'm not sure quite you can take them down by inflicting pain.
You know, I had a date with a girl once that had that thing going on. She said, I like pain too much. I said, I'm going now.
Did she say? Did she say?
No, Paul, I don't. I don't recall her ringing a bell, motherfucker. What the fuck was that? What a bitch.
Okay, and also I need to mention the performance here, played by Doug Bradley, who is incredible in the role. Originally, he's not the focus at all. The antagonist of the first film is meant to be Aunt Julia and Uncle Frank and shit. Don't worry, I've never seen it.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm just looking around.
He was so popular in his small screen time, he becomes the antagonist of all the future Hellraiser films. So there it is. Okay. That is why Pinhead makes my list.
Cool. By the way, that story about that girl is on our Patreon. In case you're interested. Okay. My number five, Angel of Death from Hellboy 2. And I'm a little surprised that Guillermo del Toro did not make it onto this list yet.
Hold your breath.
Okay. I'm sure he's coming up. Okay. The Angel of Death, people, is... Okay. Well, we all know that Guillermo likes to put eyes places... All right. Now, what he's done with this one
is...
Well, I know. But, like, the it's sort of a creature. The bottom half of the jaw, it's huge, by the way, and it has wings, right? Big wings. The bottom half of his head is a very scary-looking mouth and jaw, not dissimilar to a big human's jaw. But the top half of his head is, like, this big half-dinner plate, which is massive, and he doesn't have any eyes, and the whole thing seems to be made of bone. And all of his eyes, which aren't on his head, there's multiple of them all along his fucking arms and wings and shit.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's very, very freaky, and it kind of... You know what? I'm on Hellboy. I'm like, it was fine.
Yeah, me too.
But he's really good at this shit, this Guillermo fellow, like doing this stuff.
Design, creature design.
Yeah. So this one is actually just freaky to look at.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and if you... this is sort of nightmare fuel, I would say, this one. Because it's bad, but it's not terrible, but it gets in your head, so ugh.
On that note, his next film is called Nightmare Alley, which I'm quite keen to see. It looks pretty good.
Hope you enjoy it.
Bradley Cooper.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. So yes, Angel of Death from Hellboy 2 is my number 5.
All right, there we are. My number 5 then. Is going into an absolute classic from David Cronenberg, as played by Jeff Goldblum. I'm talking about Brundlefly.
That's The Fly?
The Fly.
Really?
Yep.
Now, what did The Fly look like, Paul? Because I remember Jeff Goldblum squatting naked in
that as you would.
Thing, as I would.
As many, many people out there like to envision Jeff Goldblum naked.
And ironically, I know about the first Fly, the original Fly. I remember how that kind of looks with the helmet.
Vincent Price.
Yeah, right? So what's he look like here?
Well, have you not seen this movie?
I have, but I've forgotten what The Fly looks like.
Well, it's a series of creatures because he moves through the phases of becoming the fly, which is, again, the reason why it kind of stands out for me. Again, designed by the same guy who designed the Gremlins, and they're moving from the pupae through to their
floral stage. Oh, he likes to get
Chris
through
Wallace.
Right? Chris Wallace, sure.
This one is, it starts out, he's starting to decay. He's starting to melt. Gross. Again, there's this obviously something here which really speaks to me.
Yeah, what is that about, Paul?
I don't know. It starts small, so he's got like lots of prickles and sweaty temples, and it ends in rupture with flesh peeling away like tree bark to reveal this repulsive, pitiable creature.
Does he turn?
I mean, eventually he turns like into a human-sized fly, but without the coarse hair. So it's almost like sort of teeth thing. And yeah, it's not like he's got big wings coming out of him, but the arms are becoming longer, and it's just freaky as fuck.
There were two of these movies, yeah?
Yeah, there is The Fly too. Yeah. Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, also a totally different guy. Okay, fine.
No, he doesn't. Okay. There is no way there could be a sequel to The Fly.
Okay, got
that's
it.
Involving the same character.
I had a feeling. Okay, fair enough. The Fly. Jeff Goldblum's Fly.
Jeff Goldblum's Fly, yeah. And even imagine the face turning into that sort of insecty face. I mean, you describe much better than I do because that's the artist.
It's kind of gross, yeah. Yep. Okay, I'm on that.
An incredible, incredible practical effects effort again.
Another 80s movie?
86.
86, there you go. Okay, my number 4 is, everyone knows this guy, it's Balrog from Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of My Ring.
Wow.
Now, why?
Well, no, one vote you just got, Chris Sutherland.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Well, you know what? The reason Balrog is cool, as a man who plays Shadow of Mordor and things like that.
A lot.
First of all, he's very, very big. He's about, like, I'm guessing, I don't know, 80 stories high. He's huge, all right? He's just massive, right? Seemingly made completely of fire, despite being a very classically demon-looking head of a basically big sort of animal skull with horns that come out kind of like and around.
Don't all horns come out?
Sorry?
Don't all horns come out?
Out and around, not so much.
Out and around, better.
Yeah, yep. So it's and down. So it's a very cool-looking design, and the idea that he's actually on fire. Do you happen to know if Tolkien actually described him like this, or was this conceit of the... Yeah, okay. So anyway...
I didn't get that far in the books.
Well, I mean, I've never read them. My sister loves them, and I said, this shit's a long, and if this guy's a linguist.
If you want to read books about characters walking along singing songs...
Mm-hmm.
Then The Lord of the Rings is for you. If you don't read books about battles and the way they're depicted in these films, Lord of the Rings is not for you.
See, I knew it'd be long shit. Yeah, she loves them. But that scene in the I think it was the second one, Two Towers, whatever, where Gandalf is falling with the Balrog.
It's the start of the second one. We'll flash back to that. Yep.
Dude, that is the bomb. I was looking at it going, this is so cool. So very, very nice. Balrog, Lord of the Rings.
All right. Very, very nice. Well, my number 4 is the aforementioned Guillermo del Toro's Pale Man.
Pale Man, that one.
Child-eating monster.
Yep. It's definitely ugly as shit. It was a toss-up between these two. This one is probably freakier looking, but the other one haunted me more.
Yep,
tell me about Pale Man.
This one, though, speaking of haunting, designed by Sergio Sandoval, but again, of course, based on Guillermo's very, very worrying imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently took inspiration from this sort of saggy-skinned, child-eating albino is what he sort of described that as, because when he himself lost weight, his skin sagged like that.
Yeah. Really?
Because he suffered from drastic weight loss.
Oh, horrible.
And in part from a painting by Francisco de Goya called Saturn Devouring His Son.
Ugh.
Right. And basically, it's this very fleshy, jowly thing which has no eyes.
Of course no eyes.
Until it opens its hands right. up, and it's holding its eyes, or its eyes are in the palm of its hands, yes. and that's how...
Did we talk about this last week too?
We did.
We did, yes.
We did, and I couldn't look past it because this thing is incredibly designed.
No, it's freaky.
It is freaky. Once you get into eyes, I think eyes being all over the shop...
Because everyone thinks that your eyes are supposed to be on your head, right? But no.
But they're also meant to be forward-facing, so even like, you know, lizards that have their eyes at the side, yep. even that's freaky
yeah,
enough.
That's freaky.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So I think
I agree.
There's something very... inbuilt into our psyches, which says eyes are this.
Yes.
And whereas, you know, you can have a third arm, people, yeah, you know, or three titties from Total Recall. No worries.
No problem at all.
No worries. No problem at all. But eyes being not where they're supposed to be. Whoa. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is going on here? So,
you know, I've often thought that humans should have another nose. Like somewhere.
What, near their ass?
Well, preferably not near your ass, but like, see, at the moment, you can drown someone by just putting their head in a bucket. If we could, like, you know, breathe through one hand or something, you'd have a few more options evolutionarily. Like, I think that's...
This would not come back to you looking, smelling your taint again, are we?
Well, it would make it easier, that's for sure.
Sorry, that's a reference to last week's show, if you haven't heard that one yet. All right, that's my number four. Your number three, sir.
Nice one. My number three, well, it's Darth Maul.
Okay.
Now, his race is called Zabrak, okay? And they, well, everyone knows what Darth Maul looks like, but he's the dude in the black robe, and his face, it looks like it's black and red. Looks like it's tattooed, but that's actually what their skin looks like. They have horns, little horns.
Inbuilt Essendon supporters all.
Yes, that is true. And they also have real razor-ass, sharp-as-shit teeth. And this particular Zabrak can rock the house with a double-ended lightsaber. But more than that, the actual design of the character itself is cool. And Ray Park played this guy, and he's like ninja-ass motherfucker, like can flip and shit and do cool shit and take on two Jedis and stuff. That's cool for what the character can do. But in terms of the character design, the idea that his eyes are the way they are and he looks so freaky.
Certainly memorable.
But in a way, he looks, it's freaky, but in a dangerous way. You can tell he's a pure predator. And that's why for me, this is the coolest Star Wars looking character is this guy. Coolest.
I have just realized though, Wayne, that you've not said any of my top three. And I did threaten to end the podcast if my top three aren't in your list somewhere.
Wait, who's on your who's gonna be on your top? Two of mine are definitely on your top three. So my next two are definitely on your top three.
Which one have you missed out? Well, I reckon this one's here. I know what you've missed my number one. Because you're an idiot.
How can this be?
My number three is Stan Winston's design. After they scrapped the original, right? In this film, they had this more insectoid suit.
Yep.
Recently, originally worn by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, so that, yep.
Yep. And so they brought Stan Winston on and they created the Predator.
Yes.
Right, on your list, right?
Absolutely. That's my next one, so yes.
Yeah, so your number two.
My number two.
My number three. And it's influenced by a painting of a Rastafarian warrior in Joel Silver's office, apparently.
Really? Well, that explains the bead-looking things.
And James Cameron's desire to see something with mandibles. So Winston created this iconic dreadlock warrior with those jaws.
That's what it is about this character.
It's the mandible.
It hasn't got a mouth, really. It has, but it's got like, it's not jaws. It's the that, and it's like, what's that fucking sound that it makes? It's like a purr, but not quite.
Yeah, yeah. But even when it gets smashed in the face and it's teasing out a jaw.
Yeah, those things would get smacked up because it would be small little bones. But this thing is balls tall and bigger than Arnie and also beefcake muscle.
8 feet tall, played by Kevin Peter Hall, the late great.
Yep.
Amazing performance.
Shoulder-mounted cannon. If that isn't the answer, people. If
I know
that
that's
is
not
the
really
answer.
Part of the creature design, but it's cool as fuck.
It is part. It's because what it's wearing, man. It's like it's the design of the how it looks. So I think so. That all is. I mean, weapons are a whole different thing. But the idea that you've got a shoulder-mounted cannon is the answer, everyone. If you're walking around and you've got a shoulder-mounted shit, you don't have to get anything. You don't have to put your hands in your pockets to take motherfuckers out. That's cool. But also, we can draw, and he's got glowing-ass blood.
That too. That's actually a really good design
point
as well. Like, if it bleeds, we can kill it because we can see this fluorescent blood on. It's just a level of detail, right?
Yeah.
Which and really. Makes it so iconic.
Remember, part of its appearance as well is the fact that it is invisible.
Yep.
That's also very cool. So this is, that's my number two for sure. So yeah, that's your three. My two, we're back to you for your two.
My number two.
What is it?
It's got to be your number one then.
Well, yeah, but what is your number? What?
Exactly, Wayne. Exactly. My number two is, of course, from H.R. Geiger.
Yes.
Yes.
The
Xenomorph.
What are you talking about then? All right.
Ridley Scott's Alien. Yeah, it's gone through all manner of iterations, and they've created a new version of its life cycle, and James Cameron made them a certain way, and then David Fincher's film, Alien 3, not that he wrote it, created sort of the more dog-like alien than Alien Resurrection, and then we get the new ball and all that kind of stuff. But the quintessential xenomorph, this huge dome-headed creature with a double mandible.
That is what's what about this shit, okay? He's got a big-ass mouth, and you know it's scary, and it's dripping with, like, looks like fucking... it's just drool. Saliva, really,
it's,
but yeah.
It's drool, but it's also acid for blood. So.
Well, acid for blood. But then when it opens its mouth and another mouth shoots out, shing, right? With a big...
Which can punch straight through everything.
Your fucking head, everything, right?
Bone, metal, whatever. That's how powerful it is.
And its tail is essentially a big fucking cleaving-ass spear-like shit. Yep. It's so sharp at the end. It just... Man, have you ever looked at a book of H.R. Giger's art? It is all nasty.
It's freaky as fuck.
It's all dicks going into fanny-looking things with veins and fucking shit like that. Hey, it's really gross. But it's like, it's all this. And that's why you can see it's so organic,
This
creature. It's that's really what it looks like.
Yep.
So, and it's a dude in a suit, isn't it?
For the most part, yes. I think some of the alien queen and sort of aliens was puppetry and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, for sure, the most of the... ones that are leaping around and jumping and whatever are dudes in suits.
I wonder if he gets a check every time they do a new Aliens.
I think he's dead.
His family, his estate, something like that. That's pretty cool, though.
Even the way they can run up, like, so they're so strong, they can run along the wall.
Yes.
And on the ceiling and not just drop off being caught up by gravity. It's not like they're, I don't think we've ever established that their claws and whatever are their hands aren't sticky. It's
just
that they're so strong. And move so fast.
And
like all that shit's all awesome as fuck.
Ruthless, because I think there was this one movie where there was a bunch of them in a cell, and two of them cannibalized the other one to use its blood to melt through the bars of the cell and get out.
That's the fourth one.
That's the fourth one, isn't it? Yep. Yeah. I was like, oh, damn, that's some nasty shit. You motherfuckers are cold. Yeah. So, yes, very cool looking. Probably the coolest looking character design I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Certainly.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I totally understand why it's number one. And I'd have no problem with that if my number white one was on your list somewhere.
I am genuinely in the dark as to what
give us your
10
through 1, Wayne, then I'll do my 10 through 2 and reveal my number one, the greatest creature design. Unquestionably.
I'll bet you it's some shit. All right, here we go.
Fuck you.
Number 10 is Mimics from Edge of Tomorrow. Number 9, the Mogwai from Gremlins. 8, Medusa from Clash of the Titans. 7, the Engineers from Prometheus. Number 6, the Darkness from Legend. 5, Angel of Death, Hellboy 2. 4, Balrog, Lord of My Ring. 3, Darth Maul from, you know, them Star Wars movies. 2, Predator from Predator. And 1 was Alien, of course.
All right, well, there we are. Great list. My number 10... is the Splinter creature zombie things from Splinter. 9, Pumpkinhead from the aforementioned titled. 8, Tarman from The Return of the Living Dead. The Gremlins is where I found my number 7, including the Mogwai in that stage. Pinhead from Hellraiser, but really it could be all the Cenobites if you really want to push it a little bit harder and further. Brundlefly from The Fly at number 5. The Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth number 4. The Predator from Predator at number 3. The Xenomorph from Alien at number 2. And my number 1.
Go on.
Back in 1982, Wayne, there was this little film directed by John Carpenter and worked on by Rob Bottin.
You know what? Keep talking. You'll see why it's not my number one. It's not even on my HMs. Keep going, Paul. Keep going. Keep going, motherfucker.
Jesus Christ. He worked himself so hard in this film, he put himself in hospital.
Really?
And then Stan Winston had to come in and help out on the dog creatures, because I'm talking about the Thing.
Right, in its various iterations.
Its various iterations, which it can be anything it wants to be as long as it has assimilated that creature before at some point through its life cycle. So we get to see everything from dog heads, which explode open and tentacles come writhing out. What is this look on your face?
Here's the thing about the Thing, Paul. When I saw this film... And again, you said there are various iterations. Totally, okay?
Metamorphosis.
Something about it didn't work for me because I actually thought it looked ridiculous. Now, I'll tell you what. You remember when the spider head? Remember the head falls on the floor and then the legs come out and it scatters on the floor?
Your view here, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm telling you, I saw that. I was like, what, it's a spider now? And even you gotta be fucking kidding me is what they say. And I'm like, I know that was the point of the scene, but I still thought it looked weird. You know what really gave me the shits, Paul? When they were doing CPR on the guy.
Yes, that's the greatest bit ever.
You don't form a mouth and open it that quick. It was just weird. It was just weird to me, man. I was like, what the fuck? It just seemed weird.
You can't handle the truth.
Remember, these are all just ideas that you do. Now, I guess it is creature design, but it's multiple creature designs within the same creature, right? So that's fine. But
cock juggling thunder cunt.
I never
dissing the Thing.
I just didn't rate that. I did the Thing as a movie, fantastic, but the creature design, if we're focusing on that, it really didn't do much for me, man.
All right,
Bitches leave.
I know.
Because we got to get real on Wayne's ass.
I know.
This is it's one not gonna of be the popular. Worst takes in 342 episodes of this show.
I thought about the thing and I went, you know what? No. So, and I get
I feel
it.
Like I'm taking crazy
Everyone,
pills.
Everyone, just vote for Paul. It's fine. Yes. It's fine. Okay.
And in the comments, point out how Wayne is so wrong about the thing, it hurt your soul. Because that's how I'm feeling right now.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, hey. Whatever, teach their own. But I remember thinking it was more ridiculous than scary. That was what I thought. So there you are.
Or if you prefer.
I do not.
Yeah, most episodes, it comes down to this. Look, this whole thing, it can metamorphosize into anything it wants to do. And of course, it was a brainchild of so many different people. So I mentioned Rob Bottin. Michael Ploog was the comic artist. Mentor Hubner was the artist illustrator. And then Stan Winston, as I said, came in. It cost $750,000 effects budget was doubled by the end of this film production. Can you imagine saying, here's your budget and doubling it?
Sorry, $750,000 was the effects budget.
Yep. And then so it was $1.5 million.
Yeah, back then. Big bucks.
That's big bucks in 1982.
That's deaf.
That's how hard they worked on this shit. And you've just dissed
maybe
all
they
that work.
Worked a little one of the- Look, I'm not saying it's bad, but I remember it not giving me the effect I was hoping for.
Oh my God.
You know, hey, look, I'm not a horror guy, okay? Brother's going to get like different shit now. That's how we do. So
brothers aren't going to work it out quite All
okay. Right. How about some honorable mention, Paul?
Yeah, let's do that shit. Wayne, take us away.
Okay. Bong Joon-ho did this movie called The Host, which had a weird, like...
Really?
Well, because of the big tail.
CG.
It was very... Look, it didn't look that good, but the design was good. You see?
Okay. That's true. We're not talking about CG.
That's right. Ranko from Return of the Jedi.
Yep. Big fan. Mention that one. Yep.
I had your Pale Man on there, okay, actually. Good. Pacific Rim, the Kaiju. I think it looked quite good.
Which one?
The one from the first movie. With the big... With
the very end of the first one?
Yeah. That one.
The big battle.
Wait, which was the one with the big tail? They all had that?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. One of them, all right? An American Werewolf in London. When
yeah,
the dude,
it's on
when
my
the,
mentions
yeah,
too.
Very, very cool.
Transpunction from Rick Baker.
Absolutely. The Skeksis from Dark Crystal, the big bird things.
The one that you turn your nose up.
I did. Yeah. I don't particularly care for the Dark Crystal, but
I
did shit my pants.
The Skeksis.
Skeksis, yeah. And you know what? Attack the Block.
Yes.
Remember
also,
those
the aliens, the black guys with the neon mouths.
The neon mouths, because the whole thing was black, and they were actually called big alien gorilla wolf motherfuckers, according to the. That's how John Boyega says it, right? But because their teeth glow and they're dripping with, that was cool, man. That
it's
was
on my
cool.
list as well. Honorable mentions. Fine. The only other one on my honorable mentions, which I have you not mentioned because you've never seen the film, it's from 1986, is From Beyond the Pretorious Creature, which I won't go into. If you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't. Check out From Beyond, unless you like Wayne, in which case, don't and be a bitch.
And be a bitch, yes, of course. There you are, folks.
All right, that's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in the segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Adam Allure, top level patron, who said The Creature from the Black Lagoon at number 3.
Yeah, cool.
I remember being scared as a youngster, which has been a big
thing. I remember the pinball machine, yes.
Today's show. Number 2, Power Man from Pan's Labyrinth. And number 1, The Many Forms of the Alien from The Thing.
I think I know this is going to go. That's fine.
That's
fine.
A bingo.
Yes, they all count as one since it was the same alien. I totally agree, Adam. Well played, sir. Kevin Lawler, another high level patron of the show, said, talked about last week, but the Darkness.
Yeah, baby.
From Legend. I also love the Cloverfield Monster. After them, Xenomorph Predators and Pans seems too easy. Mm. Then he added, what about the female gremlin in Gremlins 2? Why do I think Wayne Aruza will have something to say about that?
Why did she have Tay Diggs?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't think I would actually dig the female gremlin. I'm just guessing it's got like lipstick and looks like a gremlin. That's not really my jam, dog. But okay.
Kevin, let us know why you thought Wayne would respond to that. Dawson Schmidt said, the Iron Man... From Tetsuo Colon, The Iron Man. Number 2 is The Blob, 1988. I thought about that one.
It's just a blob, though, yes?
But yeah, it's just a blob. I don't know if the design's that amazing, what it does and how it moves and the way it kills people absolutely is amazing, but yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just looked at the female gremlin.
Yeah?
Not good. It's literally the ugliest thing anyone's ever seen, ever. So it's just, it does have Tay Diggs, though. It has titties, though. It's weird.
It does have Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs. That's what we call Tay Tays.
No. Not what we call.
Okay, what some people call it. Like, it's green hair. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but it's not. Once again, it's what you call breasts.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just to be clear. And number 1 from Dawson Schmidt, Brundlefly from The Fly.
Mm-hmm.
Smiley Smarney said, this was uber hard. Great choice of a show. Here's three less obvious. Pinhead, lead Cenobite from Hellraiser. Scary as Mofo. Brundlefly, not that less thought of. Smiley. For Jeff Goldblum's transformation, The Fly was a masterclass in special effects. And number one, not mentioned by anybody else, Frankenstein's monster, the legendary master of creation design. Sorry, creature design, Boris Karloff.
Okay, green dude, yep.
Enough said. Green dude? Wasn't he black and white?
I thought he was, well, isn't he known to be green though?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Matt Evans said, number three, The Thing. Number two, Aliens. Number one, The Fly. Again. Chris and Icaro said, A Quiet Place, the sound sensitive Demogorgon-esque aliens.
Mm.
Number two, Jurassic Park, The Rex, because carnivorous dinosaurs are basically monsters, and she was primarily animatronic in the film. Phenomenal design, you have to agree. And number one, Aliens, the Xenomorphs. Nothing further, Your Honor.
There you go. That's your number one.
David Powell said, hey, you didn't specify movie, so I've got one TV pick. And Billy didn't specify what he means by design, so I factored in both visual design and also the premise of the creature and the creepiness of the concept. So number three, Annihilation, zombie mutant bear missing half its skin and making the sound of a baby having its soul torn out. Damn. Just get fucked, Alex Garland. You haven't seen Annihilation?
I have. I just can't remember a damn thing about it.
Excellent. number two, Channel Zero, Eddie, a.k.a. Tooth Child. What is worse than a child luring other kids to their death? How having that child's spirit housed in a body made entirely of human teeth. I don't know if I've seen that one. That's weird.
Wow. You haven't seen it?
And number one, Zygote, the best of Neil Blomkamp's Oates short studio films. Dakota Fanning is pursued by a horrific creature, which is basically a fetus.
Ew. Gross.
Scott Thornton said, Viggo the Carpathian, Ghostbusters 2, terrified me as a kid, still one of my favorite films.
I love Ghostbusters 2.
Everything from that painting into the final twist of form, the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Good call, again. Good call. I would number put one, that if we do.
Pennywise, It from 2017, but not It from Chapter 2, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Melville had The Ritual Creature from 2017, Pumpkin at number 2, and The Sputnik Creature from 2020. Lee Allen Thomas had number 3, Velociraptors from Jurassic Park. The stop-motion skeletons, not skeletons, from Jason and the Argonauts, so a little bit Harryhausen.
Okay, yeah.
Number one's The Thing, again. Atheon for the Unsurveyed said, I'm going with a creepy baby thing.
Oh.
Baby Annette from Annette.
Uh-huh.
Baby Ada from Lamb. And that grandpa Eraserhead baby from Eraserhead.
No, none of those. None of those films. Nope.
And lastly, the man who gets to wrap it up, the creator of the topic or the originator of the idea, B. Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Number three, Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth really is an exceptional piece of creepy design. Number two, Godzilla. Say what
really
you want about these films, that is an excellently designed monster that has expanded on the original Toho monster in wonderful ways. So I think he means the MonsterVerse, the new trilogy.
Yeah, let's shoot lasers or shit out of its mouth. That's pretty cool.
And number one, everyone will say it, but you really can't beat the Xenomorph. It's scary, it has real world weight and movements, human-like enough to understand its movements, but a true alien. Particularly in those first two films, it's just a gorgeous creature.
I agree, you can't beat it as a number one.
it's pretty close. Let's just put it that way. And that's your feedback on the topic at hand. So sorry to everyone we didn't get back to you. Thank you to everyone in the Facebook community who bothered to write back with their feedback on the topic at hand. It is truly much appreciated. All right, that's it for episode 342. Wayne, what's happening next week, episode 343?
Well, we are doing the top 10 movie kills.
Sticking with the Halloween theme.
That's right.
We put the
some Hammer Time shit
list out there, and I think this one was for also David Powell said, how about just doing kills?
Yeah.
Which we've never done before.
What's the best kill?
What's the best kill and why? I think that's what next week's topic will be. It won't necessarily always be horror, but I'm sure there'll be a theme of horror in my list at least.
Sure.
When I'll probably be talking about when, I don't know.
Yeah, someone like a Care Bear got killed or something.
Whoever died in My Girl died the way that they did from a beast.
There you go. Shit like that. It won't be that, but it might be.
Pretty straightforward, that topic, so we look forward to hopefully having you listen to us then. Wayne, how do the listeners get back to us with their feedback on the topic at hand, or indeed more generally?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find everywhere we're at, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us a countdown.
You can send us a countdown right now.
Might listen to it, might not.
That's right.
You can also hit us up on Twitter at @thecountdownpc, like and follow the show through Podbean, or where we host. Tell a friend about the show, that's really important. Check out our merch store, Wayne, what is it?
Yes, at countdownmerch.com. Grab a tee or a fucking hoodie or a mug or, you know, we got a lot of shit on there. There's stuff that you wouldn't think that would be on there, like you can get a countdown fucking mask. Like a COVID mask. That's right.
But you can't wear it on flights anymore, so wouldn't recommend that one.
Is that how that works now?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. A lot of airlines say you have to have a
N95
disposable.
Oh, okay. Disposable. Oh, is that so?
Yep.
What? Oh, all right. Well, there you are. You learn things on the countdown if you're me.
You're the only person that ever learned anything on this show. Ever.
This is true.
And otherwise, check out the Facebook community links in the show notes and ccradio.com.au for the wonderfulness that is Comic Confidential, which Amy.
Damn right.
Rachel. Troy. A bit of Cade.
Bit of Cade. Well. Bit of Troy. Yeah.
All those peeps. And then Believe, just with Cade and a whole bunch of weird ass freaky stories.
Boom.
If you're into that kind of stuff. And that's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Let's not make it too unpleasant.
How would you like to shut my balls?
Shut up.
We'll catch you next week. See ya.